Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, do we have Craig Hoffman on the line?
Of course we do.
He's just going through security.
Sounds like he's in the Charlotte airport.
At the airport, Craig?
Yeah, oh, a lovely place the Monday after Thanksgiving.
And Craig Hoffman is brought to you by Dell EMC and TVAR Solutions, transforming the federal data center. So, Craig, a lot of positives coming out of this game, but tell us about Fabian Moreau. Let's start with Moreau, because you had said he was terrible this year in the slot, but damn, he looks good on the outside.
Yeah, he's made some plays. You know, a couple of the interceptions are right place, right time, but you got to be in the right place to be there. So he certainly deserves credit for that. And finishing plays, I mean, that's one of the things that I know a lot of people were frustrated about with Josh Norman, including Josh Norman, that the ones that did get to him, he would drop. And so to make those plays and finish and to clearly just be more comfortable on the outside makes you wonder why they ever slid him inside in the first place, as opposed to finding a different solution once they traded Kendall Fuller. But he's been really good. He obviously was a part of a secondary yesterday that was able to shut really the Panthers' offense down after that first two drives where they gained 150 yards and scored two touchdowns. And it looked really bad, like it was going to be a long day. They get everything figured out on the back end. Their pressure starts to get home, and they feast it from there.
Yeah, it was unbelievable, the pressure. I mean, when was the last time the Skins had 7 sacks? That was awesome. Contributions from everybody. Ioannidis is just having an unbelievable year. He had another 2. But then the guys off the street, Odom and Orchard, I mean, talk about their stories, because that's just phenomenal.
I don't even know if I know their stories yet. Like, they've been here so little time. You know, Odom's been on the practice squad most of the year and was cut and then brought back last week. Nate Orchard, a guy who the most we know about his story is from when he was featured on Hard Knocks with the Browns a couple years ago, and he was one of the last cuts. And I mean, he looked explosive. He looked fast. I mean, sometimes at this time of the year, you just get fresh legs in there, guys who haven't played, and it's actually the best thing. Because they just, you know, that little bit of freshness is enough to push them over the edge and be better than another alternative. And I don't know whether it's that or these guys just are in the right system with Minuski called a great game. You know, whatever it is, they have gotten more exotic with their pressure, you know, the last couple of weeks. And it's almost like they've played the Jets and saw what the Jets did to them and went like, oh, wait, you can do that? You know, where they're bringing 7 guys and doing some of these more exotic things. And the Panthers struggled to pick it up. They were clearly confusing Kyle Allen. He had no field vision yesterday, couldn't see anything, didn't know where his eyes were supposed to be. And I think the tape's going to be really interesting to watch, because it seemed like the coverage was really solid on the back end, but I guarantee there's going to be some guys open and Allen not seeing him, which is the sign that you've done something to a quarterback. You've made him nervous about pressure. You've confused him with coverage. So it seems like they had a really good plan yesterday, and it worked really well after those first 2 drives.
Craig, yesterday was shaping up as a real breakout game for Montez Sweat, 1.5 sacks, and then he goes out with a quad injury. What's the prognosis on him? How serious does the coaching staff think it is?
Montez himself said it seemed to be fine. He was going to, you know, obviously feel it out as this week went, but felt tight and just couldn't get it loosened back up. But I do think it's something that should be pretty short-term, but he looked awesome yesterday. And maybe it is that just that little bit of difference between Sam and Will linebacker. You know, Ryan Kerrigan typically plays that weak side linebacker spot, and now Sweat plays it yesterday, and he's just explosive. He's not, you know, it's a slightly different angle or whatever the difference is. It's a lot of the same responsibilities, but he just, I mean, it was as good as he's looked all year, needless to say. And, you know, I think everybody's kind of been waiting for that. He looked awesome.
All right, let's talk about, obviously, the running game. You can see it for your own eyes. I mean, Geis, when healthy, is going to be a stud. Just got to keep him healthy. AP, just marvel at him. But I'm really watching the quarterback. And, you know, Haskins, again, modest numbers, but I'm seeing growth week after week.
Yeah, no, and that's the biggest thing, is Dwayne doing stuff that he's just not done before. And that is kind of what you want, a command, a comfort, all that kind of stuff. And I am very curious to see moving forward if he does have a breakout type of game where all of a sudden everything comes together. Because what you're getting right now is pieces that come together. You're getting a little bit here, a little bit there. You're getting, okay, he's more comfortable. Okay, he's a little more accurate. Okay, he's, you know, yesterday, I know John and I, Kime and I were joking in the press box when he grounded that screen, not intentionally grounded, but threw the screen pass into the ground because you're going, hey, that's growth. He had a couple of screen passes, one in each of the previous two games, where he needed to throw it into the dirt, and he didn't. And he tried to make plays running and lost yards, and you're going, okay, he gets it now. It's processing faster. And in a lot of ways, it's similar to a conversation I had, EB, with your boy Steven Sims after the game yesterday, where things are not as fast as they used to be. Instead of lining up and thinking, oh, my God, what am I supposed to do here? You line up knowing what you're supposed to do and just having that comfort of an understanding of snap in, snap out, what the plan is, and having seen some of the things that you're seeing before is definitely showing up. And I think that is the thing with Dwayne that is so encouraging, is he's clearly learning. And sometimes it's within game, sometimes it's game to game, but he has put together now a couple of games where you're going, all right, you've eliminated the turnovers. That was the biggest thing. All right, you've got your eyes and your feet to match up a little bit better. That's really impressive. Okay, the accuracy was a little bit better today. That's impressive. And so we have these critiques game after game, and I'm sure after watching the tape, like, I'll have a couple things where I'm like, all right, this is the next step. And, you know, when I point those things out, people freak out. How, oh, my God, you're so negative, this, that, the other thing. But it's not that. It's just like, okay, this is where the growth needs to happen. And the fact that every time we're pointing out, and it's not like, you know, we in the media are motivating this. These coaches are telling him the same thing, which is way more important. You know, so every time his coaches are saying, hey, this is where the growth needs to happen, you're seeing growth. That's a sign to be excited about for Dwayne.
It also seemed like he just grew on the podium, because last week was a disaster. It was after the selfie. And even during the week, some of the quotes about why he was inaccurate, he's been kind of all over the place, saying it was his wrist, saying this, that, and the other. But he seemed a little more mature.
No, he did. And, you know, there was something he said in that post-game presser, too, where he basically admitted, like, I'm learning how to be a pro. And I think that is not just an on-the-field thing. I think that is an off-the-field thing. I think that is a all-encompassing, like, I am growing up very quickly because I have to, becoming an adult type of thing. Which, again, he's 22. But that's allowed. It's not a death sentence for him and his career that he's not mature and he's not an adult yet, because he's not. But the fact that he is putting in the effort, he is trying, and he wants to be good, and in fact wants to be great, and you see this really authentic growth, it seems like, week in and week out, I think is important, because it shows that he can take coaching, he can take feedback. You know, even a little thing, like, you know, when I asked him about if anybody had given him any gruff for getting out there for victory formation this week, and he said, everybody, but it's my fault, I did that.
Right.
And to see him own that in that moment and have some fun with it, as opposed to being like, oh, you stupid reporter asking me about this old stuff. Like, to actually have fun with it in that moment, I think is a nice, mature sign of growth. And I'm really encouraged by what I'm seeing from him over the last couple of weeks and the things you're hearing behind the scenes.
Let's talk about the offensive line for a second. I think without question, we have to say that moving Eric Flowers to left guard has been a damn near great success, right? He's been pretty damn good. I noticed that on Geis's touchdown run, he let him spike the ball there. That's been a brilliant move, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, it really has been good. And it makes you wonder why the hell it took them so long to do it. You know, they kept saying, oh, well, we needed bodies to tackle, and oh, we needed, you know, just in case we wanted Eric to know tackle. And it's like, well, why? He needed to learn guard. Like, if you wanted to play him at guard, you needed him to start that transition. And they took forever to do it, but it certainly has worked out. You know, that's the whole reason Eric signed here, was because he wanted to revive his career, ironically enough, under Bill Callahan as his position coach. And obviously Bill's still coaching the O-line a little bit, but Phil Rauscher has done a good job as Bill's assistant and now the O-line coach. And Flowers has arguably been their best lineman all year. Sheriff has had a down year. Moses has had a down year. But both those guys played well yesterday. And I think that Flowers has been consistent. I mean, I don't think he's been great. You know, I don't know that he's playing at like a Pro Bowl level, but he's certainly playing at above and a replacement player level. And to see that after how bad he was at tackle for years and years, and to make that transition and to have the mental toughness it takes and the humility to switch positions after being a top 10 pick, I think is a real credit to Eric Flowers, because he certainly had his problems in New York, not just playing, but, you know, he basically fought a media member at one point. Like, there's a lot of stuff with Eric Flowers. To swallow all that, be a good soldier, a good teammate, and ultimately a good player, I think he deserves a ton of credit for that. And the team obviously deserves some credit for identifying the potential to make that switch and executing it at a pretty darn good level.
Well, Craig, I got to tell you, yesterday when Cakes and I talked to you, I was a little jealous weather-wise because it was so kind of nasty and gray and cold. But next week you're going to Green Bay, so I think we'll have it better.
Well, actually, we're not going to make that trip, so I might be hanging out with you guys. I need to know which glory days you're going to be at. So
be
I might
Falls Church.
Okay, that's in my neck of the woods. I think I can come say hi.
Okay, no, they're not sending you to Lambeau. Okay.
Yeah, and now that I've seen the weather, I'm a little less upset that I'm not going to Lambeau, because it is supposed to be absolutely Wisconsin-quality disgusting.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, Craig. Hey, we've got a couple wins to talk about. Makes it a little easier for you guys, so that's good for you guys.
Yeah, looking forward to coming back and seeing what the guys have to say today. Thanks.
Yep, thank you, buddy.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I watched a little. I stayed up late last night. I just wasn't tired after like 4 days of not having to wake up, and you're waking up like at 8:30.
Yeah.
It's just hard for me, I'm just not disciplined to go to bed at 9 or even 10. So I watched the whole football game last night. I watched
That's
the whole Sunday football
midnight.
Game. And then I had the Wizards on.
Oh. They're playing in L.A.
Do you know how many points they gave up in the first half?
You said 80.
82.
No.
They gave up 82 points in the first half.
Honestly, they don't have one defensive player, though.
They gave up 150.
In a half, EB.
I know, but.
And I think it was at 80 with 2 minutes left, so the Clippers got cold.
Mm-hmm.
They could have hit 90 and a half.
How'd they do? They usually do better, though, when they have those epic, horrifically awful first halves. They usually do a little bit better in the second half.
Well, they gave up. Let me do the math. So what did they give up?
Yeah. 70 in the second?
68 in the second 68. Half?
So they didn't get much better.
Yes, they tightened up and only allowed 68.
I mean, Rui gave them 30.
Yeah.
Rui's
fine.
I like watching them.
He's fine. Yeah, they have some good offensive players, but none of them are defenders.
I know, but how can you allow a team to go for 150?
It's just what happens.
That's literally just saying, you can go by me.
Well, yeah, Paul George.
It's okay, just go right by me.
I don't know what the total numbers were. I watched the first half. I saw part of the first half. You know, I was kind of checking in, mostly watching the Texans-Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul George was just having his way.
Yeah, I mean.
With whoever defended him, whoever tried
Kawhi
to defend
him. Kawhi at 34.
Thanks for being on, George.
Combined, they were 24 for 42 of those two players, Kawhi and Paul George.
Yeah, they're a good team. They might win the NBA title this year.
We should have taken the under. Why didn't we not dance with the under? 26 and a half.
Oh, you mean under team?
I mean, they have 6 wins. They're 6-12.
They'll be right on the round.
They're
going to
win like
number.
20 games, 21 maybe.
I'll go over 20.
Anyway, it was just amazing to me they gave up 82 points. Now, the biggest Wizards fan here, besides Cakes, is AWOD.
Mm-hmm.
And AWOD
yes.
over the Thanksgiving weekend posted something really interesting. I don't know why he does it other than the obvious. It's attention dollars, because sure. I would never post something like he posted, but he posted a shirtless picture of himself and his dad.
Him and Maury.
Apparently they play ping pong shirtless on Thanksgiving. That's
so
their tradition.
Tell us about your tradition. When did this start?
As a kid, we had a ping pong table in our basement, and so we've always played on the holidays or whenever there's a
right.
day off.
Right.
And the bit is, if it's tied going into the final game, we both take our shirts off. and it's, you know, full ahead.
When did this tradition start?
Probably when I was like 8 years old. And
it's kind of weird.
So my dad came over to my apartment complex, and we have a ping pong table up on the top floor.
Oh my God, you did this like in wasn't even like the privacy of your own home. You did this like in a general area.
You have to ask for a key to get into the game room, so we were the only ones in there.
Yeah.
But my dad won the first two games, couldn't believe it. I smoked him the next two, and then we both took our shirts off.
Doing
so hold on. In theory, somebody else from the condo could have gotten the key and come in.
Yeah.
In theory, anybody could have come in.
Correct.
Right.
Right. And this was on Thanksgiving?
Yep, Thanksgiving morning.
Well, listen, on the one hand, it's awesome that you and your dad have this sort of, you know, you guys play together and you whatever. That's nice. That's awesome. I mean, it's humiliating. I mean, four boobs in there.
I think we look pretty good.
Well, someone
we look like four men.
Yeah. No, someone pointed it out that Adam's just complete lack of shoulders.
Yeah,
really?
Like he's got, they just drop off. It's a cliff.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, like no muscle definition
no muscle,
at all?
No bone structure?
Nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
It just slopes straight downwards.
Hey, I also saw a picture. So D. Woods, longtime listener of the show, came out to our pregame show yesterday, Glory Days Grill.
Yeah.
In Fairfax. And D. Woods then apparently ran into AWOD. They were doing the Play to Win podcast or radio show in D.C. yesterday. I saw beers in front of you, AWOD.
I drank. I definitely. It was a bit on my show. I drank two Jack and Diets, and I had a Gouda bacon barbecue cheeseburger. But I only ate half of it, and that was the bit. Is that I did admit to eating all the potatoes, but I only had half the burger because I was saving
calories.
He's not gonna.
You're gonna say he's not gonna get anywhere close to the number.
I don't think he is, but
not
he swears
close.
He's lost a lot of weight already.
Also a proven liar, though.
Yeah.
Does he look like he's lost a lot?
What's a lot?
Well, I'm up and I was down
a lot, double digits.
I was down double digits, and then Thanksgiving happened, and now it's back to single digits.
Yeah,
but I'm working my way down to 202.
Hamburger,
right?
But like you have no discipline, so you have this big bet.
What was
the
what was his peak?
229,
right?
229.
How much did you guys bet? $100 each.
Yes.
Yeah.
So for him to win $300, that's significant for the amount of money that he makes. Okay, $300 is
huge.
And if he was making that progress. I just, like, why are you drinking on a Sunday afternoon? That's just, you're just shooting yourself in the foot.
So that's not even Thanksgiving when you did that? When you had the Gouda or whatever?
That was in my weekend plans. I was scheduled to drink on Sunday. I did not drink on Saturday.
Scheduled to drink?
Or Friday. Friday and Saturday, I stayed in and was healthy, and I hit a workout.
Any Uber Eats?
Yes, there were Uber Eats.
Yeah.
So you only guess, you weren't Uber eating salads.
So you're saying you only drank 2 out of 4 days?
Correct.
Right.
You think that's a path to victory in losing weight?
No, he should be drinking 0 out of 4 days.
If he keeps drinking 50% of the time, we're fine.
You guys are so
That's like telling me to stop gambling.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
It can't happen.
It's impossible.
Literally
You'd
impossible.
Shrivel
Physically
up and die.
Impossible.
Well, listen, at the end of the day, it's nice that he and his dad have that connection, and that's really cool. I mean, it's a humiliating picture. And did you ask your dad for permission, by the way, to post it? Because you got your dad and his man boobs back behind you.
I actually did ask him, and he said he was cool with it. I think we both felt confident about the photo.
Oh,
they both
did.
Like the attention dollars.
Oh, they love it.
It's not even my dad doesn't see any of the attention. It's in my DMs.
No, but you do. You love it.
What's your dad's deal now? Is he dating?
He's getting after it. I just don't talk to him.
Are you still trying to get your parents back together? You still trying to do that?
Still a sore spot.
Oh yeah, we were all together for my sister's birthday, and it was the best day of my life since I was a kid again. Oh,
poor Adam.
And it just sucks because
How long
Life
have they
is
been,
too real.
How long have they been divorced now?
5 years.
Okay, you understand it's not going to happen.
I know, but the movie Parent Trap is stuck in my head.
What happened in Parent Trap?
They get back together and they live happily ever after.
It's a movie, stupid!
Don't you want your parents to be happy? Like, your mom's probably happier now. She's got a new boy toy.
No, but
your dad's probably happier.
I just have this feeling in the back of my heart that they'd be butt-sized. To give it one
the
more
back of your heart.
In the back.
Do you know that makes no sense?
Deep down, I know that they get butt-sized to live together.
No, they don't.
They don't.
Because they've been apart for 5 years.
How dumb are you? They probably got divorced 10 years too late.
What a big stupid.
I'm sorry that I get sized for familyness.
Well, everybody does.
You can still have it.
What are you saying? For familyness.
Is that a word? Familyness?
I was drinking yesterday.
Yeah? You still drunk?
No.
Is that what you're trying to say? Well, You know what? God bless you. You and your dad having that good quality time.
You should stop drinking just to preserve your brain cells. Look, because you don't have that many to burn.
I'm waiting for one of the junks to challenge us in ping pong.
Who?
Any of you guys.
Challenge who? You and your dad?
Me and my pops, yeah.
2-on-2?
I'll play you in singles.
Would your dad ever consider coming in here?
Yeah, we talked about that over the break because I mentioned that the guys would be psyched to get him in studio.
Right. Didn't I already beat you in Richmond in ping pong? You're not good.
No, that was not me.
That was me.
Oh, it was Travis.
Nubs.
Where was Adam? Was Adam with us in Richmond?
I don't remember.
Oh, he didn't go with us.
I went with Grant Danny this year.
We invited Adam's dad to the drinking show.
Oh, we did?
Valdez and I did.
Uh-huh.
By the way, it's Friday.
It is this Friday.
Yeah.
Right.
No word.
Mark it down.
He's got an open
welcome.
Invite.
Now, look, not a long stay.
No. Yeah. Half a segment.
You know, segment tops.
Right. I mean, he can't steal my whole segment.
No. Right. Steal your ADs.
Right. And, of course, we've apparently, according to Drab, we've put the invite out to Ryan, just haven't heard back from his people. I'm guessing he hasn't heard. I'm guessing he hasn't heard.
On the show, he sounded like he wanted to come hang.
I believe if we contacted him, he would do it. But, you know, I don't know if Kyle's too busy or I just feel like word's not gotten to him yet. Right, he's technically a free agent, so going through the Nats might not be the best way to go through him.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about that angle. Joining our team right now on the Mapped Squirrels Hotlines, Chris Thompson, presented by Steamfitters UA Local 602. They built this city. Congrats, Chris.
Back in
you
action.
Come back, you play, you deliver a win.
Hey, it was good to see you, man. You had missed, what, five games? Man. Did you miss five?
Yep, it was five, yeah.
Well, that was awesome, dude. It looked like you didn't miss a beat.
It felt good, man. I felt a little rusty out there, but, you know, I was able to get some, you know, make a couple plays, put us in some good position, and pick up a couple pass blocks for seven to be able to get the ball off and get us some first downs. And
nice.
That's what it's all about for me. So,
Geis and AP, they actually left you a couple scraps.
Yeah.
what was the difference? Why were there so many holes? I mean, obviously the O-line did their job, but, like, what was the difference?
I think just, you know, I think it was really just the O-line. You know, Coach Callahan wanted to, you know, ever since he's taken over, he's been wanting to make that a big focus. But this week for sure, he was telling us every day that, you know, in order to beat this team, we are going to have to run the ball and we got to do it well. And, you know, I think the O-line just took that as a challenge. And AP and Geis just, you know, they ran for, I think, almost 210 or something like that together.
Yeah, about that. Yeah, 220, something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. I think just everything was just clicking. We weren't having, you know, too many bad penalties putting us in, you know, in bad situations with holding calls and things like that. It was just on point, and you know, we were going to stick with it. Our first 12 plays that we had scripted, we were, I think maybe 7 out of the 12 were run plays. So, you know, he was trying to really try to set a tone, and, you know, we were able to do so.
How about that stiff arm that he gave Shaq Thompson?
Oh, man.
That was
crazy. Like, right before that, he kept telling me, he was like, man, nobody's out there talking noise. The only one that's been talking is Shaq.
Uh-huh.
And he just kept saying that every time he was coming off the sideline, and I guess he got his opportunity. He was able to get some payback with that stiff arm, but it was just great to see that out of him, because that's what we saw at LSU. That's why he, you know, was considered to be the first running back drafted a couple years ago. Was plays like that and his angry run style. So it was real good to see.
So, Chris, if one of your Skins teammates gets trucked like that, gets stiff-armed, do you guys goof on him in the locker room like the next few weeks, or is that a tricky topic? Like,
probably depends if they win or lose.
Yeah.
No, I will. I don't know. I think it probably depends on win or lose too. I just know in the offensive-wise, especially with the running backs, if we're picking up a block and a guy like just manhandles us, we get on each other about it and we laugh about it. So I would assume it's probably the same with the defense. you know, they probably clown each other when it's a win, of course,
yeah,
about it, and just kind of get to, you know, laugh about it, because those things are, that's going to happen. You know, nobody's exempt from that. You know, everybody's going to get hit hard, too. So it's something, you know, you can enjoy it when you can laugh about it when you win games, of course.
I know you're not a defensive guy, and you're probably not paying attention to what's going on when you guys are off the field, but what happened defensively? The Carolina Panthers marched down the field, 75-yard drive and a 55-yard drive. Back-to-back, it's 14-0 before you could blink. And then all of a sudden, I think Carolina punted seven straight times with a pick in between. I mean,
yeah,
they couldn't move the ball at all after those first two drives. What the hell happened?
I think from what I could see, because for the most part I try to stand up and just watch and see what's going on the defense. I think there was some miscommunication and stuff going on, especially in that defensive backfield a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, I believe, you know, they did some talking and going on the sideline and made sure they got their communication together, or maybe even coach, you know, might have changed the play calls and made them a little more simpler and things like that for all the guys. And they just start clicking, man. Like, I don't know, man. It was unbelievable how great they end up playing after, you know, dropping those first two drives. And then on the offensive side, we went 3-and-out right after. I think, you know, after their first long drive, we went 3-and-out, put them right back on the field. They scored again, and then after that, they were on fire. And that's, you love to see that. And I mean, our D line, those guys up front, got all the sacks that they got. It was amazing to see.
Talking to Redskins running back Chris Thompson, presented by Steamfitters UA Local 602. They built the city. The last couple weeks, despite the numbers, you said you like what you've been seeing from Seven, and you weren't in the huddle. This is the first game you played with him in a while. Tell us what you're seeing in terms of the progress from Dwayne Haskins.
Just being in the huddle, I feel like he's taking more control. He's more calm out there. You know, everybody remembers he would go out there, the whole story about him having wristbands and things like that. And, you know, he's put more on himself to not even want to use the wristband and just trying to learn everything. And he was able, you know, he was out there, being able to flip and flip protections to be able to protect himself. And, that's what I love to see. I remember one time I was calling out the protection. I was saying it out loud, but I was like, man, we need to flip this protection. And he ended up, we had it like what we call a dummy count. And he walked up, he switched the protection, put us in a, you know, in the right position for him to be able to get all five or get all six guys blocked up. And, you know, that's the growth I've been seeing. And then he's getting more and more calm and confident back there in the pocket. So, you know, as long as playmakers, we continue to make plays for him. I think he's going to continue to get better and better. I love that play, that extended play that, he threw the sprinkle that end up dropping it.
Yeah.
I think it was like on the 3rd and 12 or something like that. Those are the steps that I see he's been making, and I can tell he's getting more and more just comfortable with the game and the speed of everything out there.
You know, what's really been impressive is, you know, he hasn't been able to throw touchdowns, really, but he's limited his turnovers in his starts.
Yeah.
And that's been good.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge for sure, especially, you know, dealing with young quarterbacks. For the most part, with most teams, the focus is to have a good run game to, you know, not put that much pressure on a rookie quarterback. And thankfully, we were able to have a good game. But he's you know, he's been limiting those turnovers and stuff as well. And I think that has come with him just growing and being able to read defenses better. The more he gets these game reps in, he's able to read and see everything differently. And, you know, I know he's putting all the time in to be able to continue to progress and help us win these games. And I'm just happy for him. And for his team, you know, we've been able to put two straight together, and hopefully we can keep it going.
What's it like for you when you see guys like Nate Orchard and Chris Odom come in and have a massive impact on the game? I mean, Nate Orchard, you know, wasn't even on a roster last week, and I don't think you win the game without him, to be honest with you.
Yeah. You know, Odom had been here, I think, through camp and some of the preseason, and he had done some good things then before he got cut, and it was just good to see him come back and be able to make an immediate impact. And Nate Orchard, man, to not even go through practices with us and to be able to go out there and make some huge plays, man, it was great to see. Yeah, it was great to see, and I'm happy for those guys because, you know, they both just came from home. You know, being at home last week and to be able to come in and get a few sacks and make that big play at the end of the game on that fourth down was huge.
Right.
How did Chris Thompson celebrate the win and actually playing yesterday last night?
I don't really do too much, man. I enjoyed it with my guys in the locker room and stuff. But after that, I go home and chill and try to go to sleep. And like I told y'all, I have a hard time going to sleep after games. I'm still kind of,
right,
you know, wired up and stuff. So took me a little while to go to sleep. I think I ended up going to bed around 12 o'clock. But
did you watch some of the late games or watch the highlights? Did you watch Texas Patriots?
I watched some of the Patriots game, which I think it kind of came as a surprise to me. A little bit, just how that game, how that game played out. But that was it. I usually, for the most part, go home and chill and just get ready for the next week.
How does the toe feel now? Does it feel 100%?
It doesn't feel 100%, but yesterday it did.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looked perfect.
I didn't feel any pain at all in the game, which was crazy. And I think that was the
adrenaline
going and stuff like that. Yeah, because like once I got home, probably 9 or 10 o'clock, it started kind of kicking in. The pain kind of started kicking in a little bit.
Yeah.
And it did a little bit this morning. But it's crazy. Like from when I talked to y'all, I think it was the Monday before the Detroit game.
Yep.
Yeah, I was having pain, but I was able to do a little bit. And then that next week, it was like there was no limits to me practicing or getting reps in. It was crazy how much that 1 week made a difference. And I mean, it's feeling better and better. So
it won't be 100% until the off season, I would assume. It's going to
Yeah, doctor said it's just rest. I probably have to like stay off it for like a month before it heals completely. So,
right.
What was it like just being out for 5 weeks and then finally getting hit?
Oh, it felt good. It wasn't, the first play that I went in, I was like running, trying to look for somebody to hit. And it happened to be Shaq Thompson on the screen play. Once I got that first hit, I was pretty much cool after that. It was fine, and I was ready to go.
That ball that you caught, that was on you quick. I mean, Haskins obviously has a lot to work on, but arm strength is not one of them. That ball was there.
Yeah, it's crazy because I didn't expect that him to throw that ball to me, because based off the looks we got all during the week, there was one specific look, which was a one high safety look where they ran cover three that we were expecting to be able to get that for me to get the ball on that play. And I can't remember what defense they ran, but, you know, I just kind of saw a void in there, and Haskins saw the same thing, and he got it in there quick. As soon as I turned around, I saw the ball. I was like, oh, shoot. That's why I kind of, like, caught it with my neck and everything. It got on me pretty fast.
Better than a drop.
Well, luckily, you know what? Luckily for you guys, just in terms of the weather, the game wasn't here because it was awful up here, and it looked like it was pretty nice down in Charlotte. And, of course, next week you got to go to Green Bay, and it's probably going to be 15 degrees and snowing up there.
Gotta deal with that. Yep, yep. I'm not looking forward to that. But, you know, we're going to have to battle the elements and just go with it and play a good Green Bay team. Hopefully we can go there and get a win, and that would be huge. That would be huge.
It would be huge.
Yeah.
You guys got two wins in a row. It's nice, something to build on. You'd be happy for a little bit. I mean, look. It's, you know, 3-9. It's nothing to write home about. It's terrible, but there's a little momentum, and it's got to be a little easier to go to work each day, I imagine.
Yeah, definitely is. You know, people are in a better mood. It's good to walk in and hear, see a smile on Miss BJ's face.
That's right. That's right.
Who works at the front desk? If you don't know. When she's happy and just going downstairs, everybody's happy and talking and having a good time. It's a great feeling.
All right, well, enjoy it, Chris. Build on it. See if we can't get another one.
Yep.
Talk to you next week,
yep,
man.
All right, appreciate y'all.
All right, buddy.
Let's go to Doug in Myrtle Beach. He's been on hold for 45 minutes.
Dougie,
what's up, buddy? Hey, by the way, Dougie has been on fire. I believe he's 22-5 in his last 27 plays in college football, and I believe he had a massive bet on Ohio State.
Yeah, two mortgages, actually, yep.
Yep. So he's up like 11K in the last couple weeks.
Nice.
Yeah, I got lucky here a few, but I'm taking it all out and kind of starting over. But I was just calling in because that guy Warren Sharp on Twitter, who's a big analytics guy, is the complete opposite of Cakes. You know, Cakes just fly-by-the-seat kind of guy. But
yeah,
the one common theme they have in common, and I think the general public believes also, is throwing the ball is the way to go. And if you look at the NFL, it couldn't be more opposite. Every single successful team, from the 49ers to the Ravens to the Seahawks, go right down the line. The teams that win games, they run the football. The teams that lose games, they have the most pass attempts. And I know it's because they're behind and whatnot, but the Bengals, the Dolphins, those are the teams that lead the league in passing. My point is, you know, Cakes used to make jokes about Bill Callahan and, oh, this old 1960s offense. Him and Warren Sharp are just wrong. Every team that wins,
I'm sure Warren
runs the
Sharp
ball
is wrong. You know how many numbers that guy crunches every single week? And by the way, the whole thing about passing on first down.
Then why is he wrong?
He's not wrong because he's not wrong.
First of all, Sharp isn't talking about total pass attempts. He's talking about passing
on
first down.
In a nutshell, here's what Warren Sharp is saying, that if you just walk up to the line on first down and automatically run the ball against defenses that are stacked to stop the run, and you don't even consider passing the ball on first down when you have an advantage over the defense that is presented to you, that's why he's grilling teams for not taking advantage of that situation. It's not that he's always pass on first down. It's if the defense is presenting stopping the run, then yes, you should consider passing on first down. You're being very elementary about it.
Whatever their formula was yesterday,
Doug,
it worked.
Yeah.
Dougie, he's gone. He's gone. But go ahead. We're up against a break.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
Well, there's a couple teams that are down in rushing attempts. They're having good years.
You know what? I'm going to take
Chiefs and Steelers. Now, the Steelers have had a bunch of injuries at that position. But if you look at the top six teams, Ravens, Niners, Vikings, Colts are losing record, Bills, Seahawks. Yeah. I mean, they're all winning records.
I'm going to trust Warren Sharp's analysis over Nubs Doug's, personally. That's just me. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm out on a limb.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.